Good afternoon.
Anna
has joined.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I believe you're the first.
Okay.
Will Tony be coming home soon?
I'm sorry, what?
Will Tony be coming home soon?
I doubt it.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You will find the handouts on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 6, the third column from the left. That link will open up to a landing page for all of the parashas from the Tanakh or from the Torah. And at the bottom of that, there's a link to each chapter of Sefer Yehoshua. Today we will be studying chapter 19. When chapter 19 opens up from the commentary, there's a link to the Mechon Mamre Sefer Yehoshua, and you'll need to scroll to chapter 19 when that opens up. And we'll start with the L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchimu Utchilu Utchilu Urchimu Le'akta L'Shem Yud Hei Bavavhe Be'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Elohino Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kunanei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kunaneihu. I will now read the first paragraph, which is something I added about the number of verses in the chapter. There are 51 verses in this chapter, and the number 51 connects to the Hebrew word na, nun aleph. You're familiar with that from the first word of the Ana B'Koach. The shorish of Ana is Nun Aleph, and the meaning, the translation of Nun Aleph is please. Other words with a gematria in the Tanakh, with a gematria of 51, is the word and Adam. Adam has a gematria of 45, and when you add the preceding vav, which translates as and, it becomes 51. The word Edom, which is both the nation of Edom and the color red, has a gematria of 51. And the word my mother has a gematria of 51. And there are many other words in the Tanakh as well. This is just a smattering. Let's transfer to the Mechon Mamre Sefer Yehoshua webpage, starting with chapter 19. Verse 1, we will start. Vayetze ha-goral ha-sheni le-shimon le-mate b'nei shimon le-mishpechotam vayehi nachalatam b'toch nachalat B'nai Yehuda. And the second lot came out for Shimon, even for the tribe of the children of Shimon, according to their families. And their inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the children of Judah. If you'll remember, in chapter 18 that we read last week, there are seven nations that have not yet received their allotments of property. The tribe of Shimon did not get their property, their allotments of the property in Israel, in a contiguous location. They were separated among the other tribes, so that the harsh judgment associated with the tribe would not become manifest in the land itself. There are 14 words in this verse 1, and we've discussed the number 14 this morning in our third Aliyah that we read today. The second verse. Vayhi lachem benachalatam be'er sheva v'sheva u'molada. And they had for their inheritance Beersheba, with Sheba, and Molada. Now, it's interesting to note that the word Molad, which means the time of the new moon, but I'm sure Molad means just a particular time. That's the shorish of the last word in this verse. But the language of the verse, the translation is absolutely perfect. But Be'er Sheva, Be'er Sheva, we know, well, that's a location. But then it says, with Sheva, with seven. So what is it really saying? And then it's saying, with this molada, which is a consciousness of time. But if you take the word molad and separate it from the other two letters are the lower worlds, the vav and the hey, the sefer yetzir, or the word. Olam Yetzirah and Olam Asiyah. So it's really telling us that they had for their inheritance Be'er Sheva. And when Sheva comes, it'll be time for the unity of Vav and He. That's what the verse is telling us. That's why it's added at this point. It's a hint that it will come with harsh judgment associated with Shimon, connected to the Jewish world, which is the tribe of Judah. The third verse. V'chatzar shu'al u'valava atzem. And Hatzar Shu'al Hanbala and Izem. And this could be either families, components of the tribe of Shimon, or it could be locations. Verse 4. Be'el Tolad Uvtul V'charma. And El Tolad and Bithul and Horma. verse 5. Betzik lad vevet hamarkavot vachatzar susa. And Ziklag and Bet Markabot and Hazar Susa. Susa is the Hebrew word for a horse, Sus, connected to a final hay. So it's a female form of a horse, but it could also be going in the direction of a horse. And when you're describing different aspects of geography, sometimes mountains look horse-like. And so it could be telling you where to find this particular location through that metaphor. Since I don't know the geography of Israel well enough to say that's what it is, it's just a guess. Verse 6. Uvet levaot v'sharuchen arim shalosh esre v'chatrechen. And bet leboat, lebaot, and sharuchen, 13 cities with their villages. Now, think about when the land was being invaded by the children of Israel. If the people fought, Hashem made sure that that they died. But were all the people killed? So if all the people were killed, then what the cities and their villages, what is it really talking about? But if the people were not all killed, then it makes sense to say, well, these cities and villages all come under the authority of the tribe of Shimon. The 8th verse. V'kol hachatzerim asher sevivot he'arim ha'ele ad be'alat be'er. Ramat Degev Zot Nachalat Mate Bene Shimon Lemishpechotam. And all the villages that were round about these cities to Baalat Be'er, as far as Ramah of the south, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Shimon according to their families. Verse 9. There are 17 words in verse 8 which connects to the word tov, meaning good. Verse 9. Mehevel b'nei Yehuda nachalat b'nei Shimon. Ki haya helek b'nei Yehuda rav mehem, v'in chalu b'nei Shimon b'toch nachalatam. Out of the allotment of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Shimon, where the portion of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Shimon had inheritance in the midst of their inheritance. Does that make sense to you? And these are 18 words, which is a hint to the word chai, meaning life. So the unity of Shimon with Judah represents the right column and the left column. And that's the unity of the two columns, right and left, is what creates life or strengthens life. And it's doubled up because there's 68 letters, which connects to the Hebrew word chayim, which is the plural of chai. It translates as lives. It's also the name of many people. Verse 10. Gevulun lemishpechotam, vayhi gevul nachalatam ad sarid. And the third lot came up for the children of Zebulun, according to their families, and the border of their inheritance was unto Sarid. But if you look at the last two words, the word that's translated here is unto could also be a witness. And the word sarid can be parsed into yad, meaning hand, and the shorish being a two-letter shorish is in Aramaic meaning straight. Or right, but it's witnessing the straight hand is a way to translate that, and it's talking about the tribe of Zebulun who were always honest in their business dealings. Verse 11. Viala gvulam layama umarala ufaga bedabashet ufaga elhanachal asher al pene yakneyam. And their border went up westward, even to Marala, and reached to Dabashet, and it reached to the brook that is before Chokneyam. And 13 words connecting to the indication of unification, of echad, of oneness. And 51, which we already know connects to the word na, please. Verse 12. Vishav misarid kedma mizrach shemesh al gevul kislot tavor v'yatza. El Hadavrat Biala Yafia. And it turned from the Sarid eastward toward the sunrising unto the border of Chislot Tabor, and it went out to Dovrat and went up to Yafia. 14 words. And 52 letters is a connection to Hashem's name when spelled out at the level of Malchut. Verse 13. Umisham avar kedma mizracha. Ita hefer ita katzin, viata rimon, hamtoar hanea. And from there it passed along eastward to Gath Hefer and to Ebchazin, and it went out at Rimon Metoar unto Nea. Verse 14. Benasaloto heahagul mispon hanaton. Sahayu hotsotav. Gain yiftach el. And the border turned about it on the north to the Hanathon, and the going out thereof were at the valley of Iftahel. Verse 15. Vikatat v'nachalal v'shimron v'yidala uveit lachem arim shetem esrei v'hatzrehen. And katat v'nachalal and Shimron and Idala and Beit Lachem, 12 cities with their villages. Verse 16. Zot nachalat b'nei zevulun l'mishpechotam pe'arim ha'ele v'hatzrechen. And this is the inheritance of the children of Zebulun, according to their families, these cities with their villages. Verse 17. Liyisaskar yatsa ha-goral harvi livne yisaskar la-mishpechotam. The fourth lot came out for Issachar, even for the children of Issachar, according to their families. Verse 18. Vayhi givulam Yisraela v'haksulot. The shoe name, and their border was Jezreel and Chezlut Sulat and Shunem. Verse 19. Vachafaraim Vishion Vianaharat and Hafaraim and Shion and Anaharat. Verse 20. Vaharabit v'kishyon v'avet, and Rabit and Kishyon and Ebed. Verse 20. Vaharabit v'kishyon v'avet, and Rabit and Kishyon and Ebed. Obviously, I must have read that already. Verse 21. Veremet v'ein ganim. Ve'ein chada uveit patzetz, and remeth and en ganim and en chada and bet pazez. Verse 22. Ufaga hagvul b'tavor v'shachatzi ima, uveit shemesh b'hayu hotzot, gevulam ha'yarden, arim shesh esrei, v'hatzrechen. And the border reached to Tabor and Shazazim and Beth Shemesh. And the goings out of their border were at the Jordan, 16 cities with their villages. You'll notice that there is one word, Shachatzima, which is translated here as Shachatzim. But the difference in the words, it's written with a vav as the third to the last letter, while it's said with a yud to the third to the last letter. The word can be parsed into the shin, which the vav shin is an passion, chatzi, with the yud, is halfway. And ma, what is the passion of half? It's a question that one needs to ask oneself as they develop spiritually. What does it mean to be woken up at midnight, at chatzi, at the middle of the night? It elevates your passions. Verse 23. Zot nachalat mate v'nei yisaskar l'mishpechotam he'arim v'chatzrehen. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Issachar, according to their families, the cities with their villages. Verse 24. Vayetze hagoral hachamishi lemate b'nei asher lemishpechotam. And the fifth lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families. Verse 25. Vayhi givulam chelkat v'chali v'aveten v'yachshav. And their border was Helkat and Haley and Beten and Akshah. But if you look at the word Akshah, the last word in the verse, you can rearrange the letters, permutate them to spell the palm of the wife, the palm of the man, actually, the word Aleph Shin can be Ish, meaning a man. It can also be his man with the Vav attached at the end. It can also be fire. Aleph Shin can be considered fire. So what is the word, what is the meaning of the concept of the palm of fire? Verse 26. Viala melech viamadu mishal faga the carmel viam hayama ushihor livna. And Alamelech and Amad and Mishal, and it reached to Carmel westward and to Shihor Libnat. Verse 27. You'll notice I'm not really counting a lot of words and letters on some of the verses that are very clearly delineating patience. V'shav mizrach ha-shemesh beit dagon ufaga bizvulun uvgeyifta el tefona beit ha-emek uni el v'yata el kavul misol ismaol. And it turned toward the sun rising to Beth Dagon and reached to Zebulun and to the valley of Iftahel, northward at Beth Emek and Niel, and it went out to Kabul on the left hand. Verse 28. Be'evron urchov achamon bekana ad Sidon Rabbah. And Evron, and Rehob, and Haman, and Cana, even unto great Sidon. Verse 29. Bishav ha-gbul ha-rama v'yadir mi-tzar tzor Bishav ha-gbul chomosa v'hayu O total vayama mechevel aksiva. And the border turned to Ramah and to the fortified city of Tyre, and the border turned to Hosa. And the goings out thereof were at the sea from Hebel to Achshiv. If you look at the word Wehayu, you have it's written different than it sounds because it has two yuds. So when it's spelled with two yuds, it's 37 is the gematria, which is a connection to the concealed aspect of Bina. But when it's spoken, it's 27, because it's missing the second yud. Ve'uma vayafek urchov arim esrim ushtayim v'chatzrehen. Uma also in Aphek and Rehob, 22 cities with their villages. You know what 22 connects to. 31. Zot nachalat matem b'nei asher l'mishpechotam ha'arim ha'ele v'chatzrehen. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families, these cities with their villages. Verse 32. Livne Naphtali Yatza Hagoral Hashishi Livne Naphtali Lamishvechotam. The sixth lot came out for the children of Naphtali, even for the children of Naphtali according to their families. Verse 33. Vayhi Givulam Mechelek Me'elon Betzananim. The Adami Anekev, the Avneel Adlakum, Vayehi Tots Otav Hayardain. And their border was from Helek, or Heleth, from Elon Beza Anamnim, and Adami Nekev, and Jabneel unto Lakum, and the goings out thereof were at the Jordan. Verse 34. Vishav Hagvul Yama Aznot Hatavor Beata Misham Hukpaka Ufaga Bizvulun Minegev Uvasher Pagamayam Uvyehuda Hayardin Mizrach Hashemesh. And the border turned westward to Aznot Tabor, and went out from there to Hukok, and it reached to Zebulun on the south, and reached to Asher on the west, and to Judah at the Jordan toward the sun rising. Verse 35. V'are mivtzar hatzidim tzer, v'chamad rakach v'kinaret. And the fortified cities were Zedim Zer, and Hamat, and Rakat, and Kimneret. Now, it's telling us about all these fortified cities. But fortified cities means that there's a wall. And we know that when there's Shushan Purim, that in those cities...
Has joined.
In those cities, there should be the reading of the Megillah on the second day. So why is it not read on the second day in those cities? Maybe we don't know their locations. Maybe the walls have fallen in disrepair. But it's a question that needs to be asked and answered. Verse 37. Bekedesh v'ed re'ei v'ein chatzor, and Kedesh and Idri and Enz Hazor, and Iron and Migdal El, and Horem and Bet Anat, and Bet Shemesh, 19 cities with their villages. Verse 39. Zot nachalat mate b'nei naftali l'mishpechotam he'arim v'tatzrechen. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali according to their families, the cities with their villages. Verse 40. L'mate b'nei dan l'mishpechotam Yatza Hagoral Hashbi. The seventh lot came out for the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families. Verse 41. Vayhi Givul Nachalatam Dara Vieshtao Veir Shemesh. And the border of their inheritance was Zora and Eshtaol and Ir Shemesh. Verse 42. V'sha'alabin v'ayalon v'yitla, and Sha'alabin and Ayjalon and Yitla. Verse 43. V'eilon v'timnata v'echron, and Elon and Timna and Echron. Verse 44. V'eltake v'givton uva'alat, and Eltake and Givpiton and Ba'alat. Verse 45. V'chud uvne v'rak v'gat li'rimon, and Jibud and b'nei Barak and Gat Rimon. Verse 46. Ume hayarkon V'harachon im hagrul mul yafo, and Mijarkon and Rakon with the border over against Yafa. Verse 47. V'yetze givul v'nei Dan Mehem Vialu. Vene Dan Vaila Tamu. Im Lashem Vail Penudu. O Toviaku Oto. Lefi Herev Yershu Ota. Vieshvu Va. Vaikra Ula Lashem Dan. Kishem Dan Avi. Avihem. And the border of the children of Dan was too straight for them. So the children of Dan went up and fought against Lashem and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword and possessed it and dwelt therein and called Lashem Dan after the name of Dan, their father. There are 27 words connecting to all the letters. With the Kollel, there's 100 letters. Indicating there's a completion in some aspect for the tribe of Dan. Verse 48. Zot nachalat mate v'nei Dan l'mishpechotam he'arim ha'ele v'chatrehen. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families, these cities with their villages. Verse 49. Vayekalu et haaretz ligvulotecha vayitnu v'nei Yisrael nachala lihushua ben nun. When they had made an end of distributing the land for inheritance by the borders thereof, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, in the midst of them. Verse 50. Alpi Hashem natnu lo. Et ha'ir asher sha'al, et timnat serach b'harav Ephraim, v'yivne et ha'ir v'yesheva. According to the mitzvah of Hashem, they gave him the city when she asked, even timnat serach, in the hill country of Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. Verse 51. Eile tachan chalot asher nachalu Elazar hakohen b'Yehoshua bin nun v'rashe v'ha'avod lematot b'nei Yisrael b'goral v'shilo lifnei Hashem petach ohel moed Vayekalu mech alek et haaretz. inheritance which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance by lot in Shiloh before Hashem at the door of the tent of meeting. So they made an end of dividing the land. Does anybody have any questions? Let's read the commentary. Hopefully it won't go too much over. As Rashi notes on this verse, the tribe of Shimon was second after Benjamin, the first of the seven tribes that only received their portions after Reuben. Gad and half of Manasseh took theirs in the east of the Jordan. And after the royal tribe of Judah and the firstborn of Joseph, which is Ephraim and Manasseh, took theirs to the west of the Jordan. Only after these leading tribes had already taken their portions did Joshua command the remaining seven tribes to send a team of three envoys each to make a survey of the rest of the land in order to receive their portions. After Benjamin, the son of Jacob's beloved Rachel, the remaining tribes out of these seven were in the order given in our present chapter: Shimon, Zebulun, and Issachar. The three other sons of Leah, besides Reuben and Levi, who did not receive a portion, and the royal tribe of Judah, followed by Asher, the son of Leah's handmaid, Zilpah, as was Gad, who had already taken his portion east of the Jordan. Then Naphtali and finally Dan, these last two being the sons of Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah. The Kabbalistic Sefirot corresponding to the tribes are Judah is Malchut, Issachar is Netzach of Malchut, Zebulun is Chod of Malchut, Reuben is Chesed of Malchut, Shimon is Gevura of Malchut, Gad is Chod of Malchut, Ephraim is Ateret Yesod of Zeranpin, Manasseh is Yesod, Benjamin is Nekudot Zion, which Dan is the lowest limb of Hod of Malchut, and Asher is the heel of Netzach of Malchut, and Naphtali is the lowest limb of Netzach of Malchut. I had once, many years ago, asked for the Sefirot relationship to the tribes, and I was told there were many different sages who have expressed that. This is the first time I have ever seen the relationship expressed. And I have to really think it through to see if I'm comfortable with it or not. Because the commentator, who is Rabbi Abraham from Azamra, he does not give a source. So don't just accept this. Shimon. The tribe of Shimon received their portion from part of Judah's territory. Since Judah had taken more territory than required for their population, this is bound up with the fact that Shimon was something of a maverick tribe. Shimon had gone with Levi to kill the men of Shechem. While both were criticized by Jacob when he blessed his sons, the cursed is their anger was his term, I shall divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Levi was divided and scattered in an honorable way to the Levitical cities, while Shimon was divided and scattered amidst the territory of Judah. This is also bound up with the fact that Zimri, then Salu, the prince of the tribe of Shimon, had flouted Moses in taking the Midianite women, as a result of which Moses did not give Shimon a blessing. Nevertheless, Shimon did receive Beersheba, one of the outstanding features of the land since the time of Abraham, and now one of the present day of Israel's most important cities. And I am adding, as we see above, the tribe of Shimon relates to Gevura. Shimon represents harsh judgment, similar to the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Levi relates to soft judgment, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Kabbalists, based on hints in the Torah, teach that these tribes need to be separated, even within themselves, and especially to never combine them, as was done in the event at Shechem. Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, and Naphtali. These four tribes took their portions in some of the most fertile and beautiful territories of northern Israel. Although many of the locations mentioned in our text cannot be identified conclusively today, there are many that can be identified, including some whose names survive in the present-day Arab names of the associated villages. And the general areas in which each tribe took their portions can be discerned even unto today. Issachar and Zebulun took their portions around the valley of Yezreel and the lower Galilee, respectively, while Asher and Naphtali took theirs in the upper Galilee, with Asher to the west alongside the Mediterranean coast, and Naphtali to the east, running all the way to the upper Jordan Valley. After the time of Joshua, a contingent from the tribe of Dan took a portion in between Asher and Naphtali around the sources of the River Jordan. Although Dan's main portion was in the center of Israel, Tel Aviv and Yaffa, Dan's joining Asher and Naphtali in the Galilee is bound up with their having been neighbors in the Israelite camp in the wilderness. Actually, in my opinion, the connection of Dan to Asher and Naphtali relates to the attribute of Din, which is judgment. Also, the expectation that the war of Megiddo, which is Armageddon, will come from the north. Therefore, there needed to be add additional strength in the north of Israel. The locations in which the tribes were to take their portions had already been indicated elusively in Jacob's blessings to his sons and in Moses' blessings to the tribe. Zebulun's portion was around Yokneam, mentioned explicitly in today's text, including present-day Zichron Yaakov, although the coastal region from Mount Carmel and northwards was in the territory of Asher. Zebulun also jutted into Asher's portion. In order to take a share in the coastal region in fulfillment of Jacob's blessing, that he shall be by the coast, and his flank shall reach to Sidon. Our text indicates that the territories of the three tribes, Zebulun, Issachar, and Naphtali, all met at Mount Tabor. In the light of Rabbi Nachman's teaching that all of the names in our chapter alludes to parts of the human body, as discussed in the commentary on Joshua chapter 15, it is interesting to examine Rashi's comment on our text. In Joshua 19:12, speaking about where Zebulun's portion touched Mount Tabor, and it turned from Sarid eastward unto toward the sun rising unto the border of Chislot Tabor. In the words of Rashi, I say that Chislot has the connotation of Chesalim, the flanks. It was not on the peak of the mountain or at its foot, but on the slope near the middle, towards the back and away from the front, in the same way as the flanks stand in an animal. And where it says Asmot Tabor in verse 34, speaking of where Naphtali's portion touched Mount Tabor, it means near the head in the place of the ears, Oznayim, Note how many anatomical terms Rashi introduces here in speaking about the topography of the Holy Land. Issachar's territory, as mentioned, included the fertile region of the Yisrael Valley. Asher's territory was in the upper western part of the Upper Galilee, including the coastal strip, and extended way up into present-day Lebanon, up to Sidon. The portion of Naphtali, whose the letters of whose name were, when rearranged, spell out Tefillin, was in the eastern upper Galilee, in one of the areas of Israel that is most conducive to spiritual ascent, including the beautiful mountain region around Sfat and Meron, the Kinneret, and the lush valley of the upper Jordan. The tribe of Dan. The well-known phrase, from Dan to Beersheba, seems to indicate that Dan's portion was located in the north of Israel, at the opposite end from Beersheba in the south. However, in fact, our text indicates that Dan's main portion was in the center of present-day Israel, including the locations of present-day Tel Aviv and Bnei Brak, still known as the Dan region, as well as areas further into the interior as far east as Beth Shemesh, Eshtaol, and Zorah, near which the grave of Dan ben Yaakov can be visited until today. Some may wonder whether Dan's role in the wilderness as the tribe marching at the very rear, gathering in the stragglers, has some relationship to the presence of latter-day Tel Aviv in his portion. Dan's additional territory, located in the north of Israel, around the source of the River Jordan, is mentioned briefly in our text in verse 47. Dan's capture of this territory actually took place after the death of Joshua, in the time of Othniel ben Kenaz, and is described in more detail in chapter 18 of the book of Judges. That is the end of our class. Does anybody have any questions? You have a beautiful day, and we'll speak to you soon. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom. Thank you.